know you, because there's no greater thing to know you, because to know you is to gain everything. But Lord, to miss knowing you is to lose everything. We love you, Father. And we declare our love for you this morning. And the church said, amen. Thank you so much, worship team. Wow, God is so good. Grace and Dennis, Lord began to speak to me about little Mariah, and he has placed in her the gift of a teacher. And that gift is going to nurture and develop, and she's not only going to know him, but through him, she's going to lead people into his presence, and she's going to teach them of his goodness. And I just felt that just while I was holding, I don't know why I didn't say it then, but when I sat down, Lord, so you tell them and you declare it over her. Amen. So can you receive that? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. God is so good. I got some great father jokes, dad jokes too, but I will refrain. And it's good to have Pastor Ken McGowan with us this morning and your dear wife, and it's good to have you. Pastor Ken was the pastor at Cedarview, and now you're traveling and you have ministry in Africa, if I recall correctly. And so welcome. It's great to have you with us this morning. It's an honor. But I do have some Father's Day quotes. But I really like these. Fathers hold their children's hands for a short while, but their hearts forever. I like that. And here's another one. My father gave me the greatest gift anyone could give another person. He believed in me. And I like that too. I didn't want to do silly ones. I wanted to do meaningful ones because... you know, it's the greatest. I'm proud to be a father today. Amen. I am proud to be a father. And I thank God for the privilege, along with my wife, to raise our daughter, Brittany, who we are very proud of. And I know there's a great many great dads here today who feel the same way about their families. And I want to tell you, I'm proud to be a father. And I want to honor you and say, Happy Father's Day. And may you, fathers, be blessed with every promise that comes from our Heavenly Father, and may you reflect his heart. Amen? You know, that's really important to me. Because a few months ago, I was in a one church planning meeting, and you can open up your books, your Bibles to Joshua 24 and just put your finger there. I'm going to talk for a little bit first, and then we're going to look at Joshua 24. But a few months ago, I was in a one church planning meeting, and we had broken into different groups to discuss how to bring godly influence and transformation to the various different areas of our society. For example, how can we influence the political realm with a godly influence with the kingdom, and how can we influence the area of arts and entertainment or education and so on? And so I joined the group that had its focus on the family. And I'll be honest, my heart, as I was in that group, my heart kind of sank. It sank somewhat as I listened to the stories in that group. And I remember commenting to some others who were with me, how are we ever going to find a solution when we're so messed up ourselves, you know, as we were sitting in that group? And then, and I remember sitting in that group, and I heard pain, I heard disappointment, I heard frustration, I even heard some venting. I heard a lot about brokenness in families. But what broke my heart is what I did not hear was any conversation as to what a healthy, godly family might look like. And as a result, no idea came forward as to how to bring a godly, transformational, healing influence to this area. And I also couldn't help notice I was the only male in the group, which caused, I have to be honest with you, caused a bit of weirdness, because it seemed my species was under a bit of an attack. It seemed my species was the, we'll stop right there. And it made me wonder, do I have a voice when it comes to matters of the family? Am I even allowed to have a voice? Well, you know me, it really didn't take too long before I opened my mouth. And I shared a bit of a different perspective as to what I was hearing. But what the conversation did to it, it brought to the forefront a big, big question. How do you touch this area of family from a biblical perspective, especially in today's culture? And I just thought, you know what? I think a great place to start would be by modeling something that I believe every single person wants to be a part of. And that's a safe, loving, caring family. I don't care what people say. I don't think there's a person on the face of the planet that does not want to be part of a safe, loving, caring family. And you know what? That environment exists. It exists in God's design for family. Do you know that? It exists, but it exists in God's design for family. In God's design for a safe, loving, caring families is, number one, is the marriage of one man and one woman committed to each other in a lifelong, loving relationship. Did you hear what I said? God's design for that, for a safe, loving, caring family is the marriage of one man and one woman committed to each other in a loving, lifelong relationship, creating a safe, caring, nurturing environment for children to grow up in. Because it's in that context we can learn something of the true character and nature of God. And we read about that in Ephesians chapter 5. And God's design for families, by the way, is the best design. I can say that for three reasons. One, it's true, because the Bible tells me so. And that's enough right there, right? It's true. Secondly, it's what I've observed. I see where there are families who put into practice God's principles and live according to their word. I see the fruit of it in their families. And thirdly, it's what I've experienced. I've had people tell me, oh, I wish I could have been in a family like your family. It's what I've experienced. God's plan, God's design for families is the best plan. Amen? You know, I just heard on the radio on Friday, it was passed, I believe it was in the Ontario Court, Supreme Court. I don't think it was federal. But I'm not 100% sure. But this is what they passed. There were two men and a woman. None of them were married. There was a child that came out of this unit, and they were wondering, could they all have custody of this child? Could we become a family? And the courts approved, gave all three. People, none of them are married, by the way, now have custody of this single child. And I thought, you know, and then they started a debate on, is this a good thing or a bad thing? And I just wanted to rip the radio out of my car, and how dumb can you be and still breathe? You know, anyway, lest I go down a bunny trail, I shouldn't. But I wonder what's going on in culture today. But to model, you know, I was thinking, it's, you know, God's plan is the best plan for families. As I said, it's what I've observed. It's what's true. It's what I've observed, and it's what I've experienced. But to model God's plan for families, guess what? You need loving moms and courageous fathers. And Billy Graham said, I love what he said. He said, A good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, yet one of the most valuable assets of our society. Amen? Let me say that out loud again. A good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, yet one of the most valuable assets of our society. Can you say amen to that today? Two of us can. Is that reflective of the problem that exists in our society today? Turn with me to Joshua 24. And I'm going to read verses 1 to 14. And this morning I want to talk to you about one particular courageous father, and his name is Joshua. And let's start at verse 1. Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and the officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord God of Israel says. Long ago your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abram and Nahor, lived beyond the river and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the river and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians, but what I did there, and I brought you out. When I brought your fathers out of Egypt, you came to the sea. And the Egyptians pursued them with chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried out to the Lord for help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them and covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the desert for a long time. I brought you to the land of the Amorites who lived east of the Jordan. They fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them from before you, and you took possession of their land. When Balak, son of Zippor, the king of Moab, prepared to fight against Israel, he sent Balaam, son of Beor, to put a curse on you, but I would not listen to Balaam. So he blessed you again and again, and I delivered you out of his hand. Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. The sins of Jericho fought against you, as also did the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. But I gave them into your hand. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you also, the two Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own sword and bow. So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities which you did not build, and you live in them and eat vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant." Listen to that. "So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build, and I gave them to you to live in and eat from, vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away your gods of your fathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Listen to this. Whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're now living, choose for yourself whom you will serve." And then he says this, "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." And I love this because Joshua, he rehearses for all the people how God, the God of Israel, had blessed them and protected them. And he says to the people, so choose. Choose for yourself who you will serve. The defeated gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. And it's like, think about it for a minute. Do you really want to buy into the beliefs and the values of a culture who you know has no future, whose end is to be destroyed? Or the one who has never forsaken you, the one who has protected you and caused you to prosper, the one who has brought you into the place of promise, the one who has given you a future and a hope, the one who has given you the land, the one who has given you vineyards and fields and crops, things that you have not labored for, the one who has blessed you to give you a future and a hope. He says, choose for yourself. Who do you want to serve? And then he says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the first thing we see about Joshua, he was a man after God. And it's interesting to note in Ezekiel 33:11, you know, Moses, when he would go into the tent of meeting to talk with God face to face as a man talks to a friend. Every time I read that, I go, wow, wow. Amazing. Talk with God face to face as a friend. We can do that, by the way, because of the blood of Jesus. But he goes in there and he talks face to face with God as a man talks with a friend. Guess who was there with him? Joshua. And I wonder what Joshua heard. I wonder what he saw. I wonder what he heard. And I wonder what he learned in those moments, as he's in the presence of God, listening to Moses and the Lord. And when Moses returned to the camp, guess who stayed in the tent? Joshua. Moses left, went back down to the people, but Joshua stayed in the tent. He stayed in the presence of God. Joshua was a man after God. He heard, he learned, he saw, and he experienced his Heavenly Father's heart for the people. He saw how his Heavenly Father, he saw how he cared for them. And he reminds the people, he says, he brought us out of slavery. He rescued us from Egypt. He reminds them how the Father had protected them. When Balak prepared to fight against us, God protected us and delivered us from his hand. He saw the heart of the Father to prosper his people. Again, he reminds them, he brought us into this land. He gave you cities you did not toil for, vineyards to eat from, and olive groves that you did not plant. He saw and he reminds the people the heart of the Father to prosper, to care for, to protect. That's the heart of the Father, amen? To care for, to bless, to protect, to deliver. He brought us into this place. And Joshua learned, and again he reminded the people, that when you put your faith in God, all things are possible. You know, the Jerichos, those things that seem impossible, are defeated by faith in God. Because nothing is impossible for those who put their faith in God. And he reminds them of Jericho, the impenetrable city that came down because of their faith in God. God's way is the best way, amen? God's plan is the best plan. Joshua was a man after God. He heard. He learned. He saw. And he experienced his Heavenly Father's heart for the people. And listen to this. It began to stir in him, not just a vision for the nation, but a vision for his family. He had a vision for his family. He had a vision for their future, for their blessing, for their prosperity. Even as our Heavenly Father's heart is for our future, blessing and prosperity, Joshua carried the same heart, the Father's heart, for his family. Amen? Joshua carried the same heart for his family. He wanted them to be blessed. He wanted them to prosper. He wanted them to know the God he knew. And so he purposes and he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. His heart for God and the vision he had for his family caused him to draw a line in the sand, and a very, very clear line. And turning to the people, and I see that he's turning to the culture that he was a part of. We're part of a culture today, aren't we? And he turns to the culture, to the people, to the culture he was a part of. And he says, you choose for yourselves. Make the choices that you think are appropriate. You want to redefine marriage? You want to redefine family? You want to move away from God's plan? You go ahead and do that. You choose who you want to serve. But as for me, I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid. And neither is my family. Not drinking that. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. Because I know something. I know that God's plan is the best plan. I've seen it. I've experienced it. And I know it to be true. So if you want to redefine family, go ahead. If you think family is two men and a woman not committed to each other for life, and a child is brought into that? You think that's the best plan? You think redefining marriage is the best plan? You think redefining family is the best plan? If that's what you think, you go for it. But we ain't buying it. We're not drinking the Kool-Aid. As for me and my family, he said, don't blame God. Don't blame God when you're sitting around the table wondering why everything is messed up. And you have no solutions, no answers or solutions. Don't blame God when you make your choices and you choose this as opposed to his plan. Don't be surprised and don't blame God when you're sitting around the table and things are so messed up you don't know where to turn to. Don't blame God because you can't find answers and you don't have any solutions. Don't blame God because you made your choice. There's always a way back. Look at the example of Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen? And I love my wife and I love my daughter, and we are doing our best to serve God. And I have sat with people, and they get angry with me. Literally, they get angry with me. How come you've got this? And how come you got this? It seems like no matter what you touch, you've got everything goes good for you. Well, that's not exactly true, but from what they see something comparative to what they're living in. They see something different. They see the love of the Father being manifest in our family because we have chosen to serve the Lord. Amen? We have chosen to serve the Lord. People are hungry to see the real deal, church. You know that? They're looking for something, and they're redefining everything trying to find it. But I tell you, it can only be found within God's plan. Amen? Don't blame God when you're sitting around the table wondering why everything is messed up and you have no answers and no solutions. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Joshua was a man after God. Joshua was a courageous father. Amen? He didn't drink the Kool-Aid, nor would he serve it to his family. Joshua was purposed, and I love this. Joshua was purposed to tell his family and his children about the things he had heard and seen while in the presence of God. Fathers, God, as you come into his presence, He will begin to tell you things about your family. Did you know that? He will show you things about himself that you get to share with your wife and with your children. He will tell you things. So often I've been in the place of prayer and I come out. This is what the Lord just said to me. And it gives purpose and it gives direction. We're excited. We're moving at the end of the week. Oh, praise God. Yeah. But we're moving into a dream. We bought a small horse farm, 8 acres, beautiful piece of property. I didn't think all my life we would own something like this. And I went before the Lord, and we began to pray. We just said, Lord, if it's possible. And God began to speak. And then we saw a property, and we went, God? And he said, you go for it. And we have it. Because our Father wants to bless us. But you know what? When we as fathers come into the presence of the Lord, we hear his voice, we hear his heart, and we get to share that with our family. And they then get to see and learn the heart of the Father. Amen? Joshua was purposed to tell his family, his children, about the things he had heard and seen while in the presence of God. He was determined to tell them what God was like and what he had experienced. I was thinking, he was purposed to teach them about the God he loved and served. And he was purposed to show them what faith in God looked like. He wanted to teach them. He wanted to show them. He wanted to model it for them. And I just imagine him sitting with his kids as they're growing up. They might have been with him at the at Jericho. I don't know. But I can imagine him rehearsing with his family. Remember Jericho, you know? Remember what happened? You know, remember that crazy place? Remember it? You know, there was this wall around it. It was impenetrable. And everybody said they it can't be taken. And so God told us to do this crazy thing. You know what he told us to do? He told us to march around the city. And he told us to do that a bunch of times. And then we blew these trumpets at the end. And you know what? The walls fell down and God gave us the city. He's a God you can trust. He began to rehearse and remember and teach his family about the mighty works of God. We get to share the heart of the Father with our families. We get to share acts of faith with our families. Amen? We get to impart and share faith and obedience into our families. Amen? We get to model it for them. We get to teach it to them. We get to show it to them. Why? So that they could experience for themselves the full blessing of God in their lives as well. Amen? Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. We will do it God's way. Because God's way is the best way. And God's plan is the best plan. You know, I know there's probably some here today thinking, I've done my best to live and guide my children according to God's plan. Yet at the moment, they seem to have rejected that. I want to give you just some encouragement from God's word, and you know it. Teach a child to choose the right path, and when he's older, he will remain on it. That's Proverbs. And I want to just tell you, you know, if you've done that, you've put the seed of God, the seed of truth, God's word into their lives. And I know this for sure, God will watch over that seed. He will watch over that seed. Parents, I don't care where your children are, you put that seed in them, God will watch over that seed. I've seen it. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen it in I've talked with parents who have prayed over their children to have them tell me years later their children are back with the Lord. I have had friends and I know their parents are praying over them, and I've watched and you go, they're in left field. And I've watched as the God has continued to reach out and water and nurture the seed of truth that's in their life. And many of my friends are now walking with the Lord again. Hallelujah. Praise God. God, you have put the seed of God's word, the truth, into their lives. And God will watch over that seed. Trust him and continue to pray, because he's a God who answers prayer. Amen. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. We will do it God's way, because God's way is the best way and God's plan is the best plan. Amen? So how do you touch this area of family in today's culture? I suggest the place to start would be by modeling something I believe every single person wants to be part of: a safe, loving, caring family that's built on the truth and the principles of God's word. Amen? Because that environment exists in God's design for family. And to model God's plan for families, we need loving moms and courageous fathers. Fathers like you. I'm going to ask you fathers to stand, even as the worship team comes. So I know you're a father, Chris, so you're standing, and and I want to pray over you. I want to pray a blessing over you, and then we have a gift for you. And maybe the rest of us could reach out Just lay a hand on one of these fathers. If you're near one of these men, just lay your hands on them. Father, I thank you that we have examples in your word of courageous fathers. I thank you that we have witnesses today of courageous fathers. And I thank you, Father, for the courageous fathers that we have right here in front of us. Fathers who are saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so, Father, I pray blessing over every father in this room right now. Lord, I thank you for them. And I know, because I know the pressure that this culture puts against fathers and against Christian men. And Lord, I break that attack off in Jesus' name. And Father, I release the boldness of the Holy Ghost in these men to stand up and model what a godly father and a godly man looks like. Father, to a society who so desperately needs to see the truth of who you are. Father, that your heart would be fully revealed through these men and their families, Lord. I thank you for them, and I bless them in Jesus' name, that they might walk in the fullness that you have for them, and that their families may be blessed through them. In Jesus' name I ask it. And the church said, amen. Men, just keep standing, and we're going to pass out a gift for you. And God bless you.